This DJ Kirk State. When I need info on today's important events, I tune into Block Report Podcast with my man, Tafari XL. Let's go.
TK Visions Beats.
It's Tafari XL.
TK Visions Beats. TDK Visions Beats.
All right, everyone out there. You are now tuned into, locked into the Block Report Podcast with me, your host, Tafari XL. And we're about to get into it. And what we're going to get into is we're going to do a couple of follow-up stories, and then bring also some new stories to your attention that we will be keeping an eye on. First up, we have former Governor Andrew Cuomo of New York. The judge dismissed a sole criminal charge against him. A spokesperson for former New York Governor Andrew Cuomo says he will not pay one penny in attempts at civil extortion after a judge dismissed the only criminal charge against him in connection with sexual harassment allegations. So Andrew Cuomo, after last year really being under fire for several reasons with these sexual harassment allegations, and in addition to the investigation and allegations that his administration was covering up the amount of deaths that were occurring during the out of the COVID crisis in nursing homes. So he definitely had a rough last few months of 2021, and he had to resign due to those issues. So we're going to get into the article here, and we're going to talk about and read the article and then get into what they're saying as far as what the possible path for Andrew Cuomo or any legal action against him might have at this time, considering that the criminal charge is now dismissed. And also, I believe we reported on it not too long ago that the Manhattan District Attorney decided not to prosecute him on the cover up of deaths in the nursing homes during the COVID crisis, which we're still going through because they're talking about surges and the most cases ever with the Omicron variant, and that's going on real heavy right now. And it's apparently it hasn't peaked yet, but they're expecting a peak according to CDC experts and other experts out there that have been able to speak on it from a medical perspective, as expecting a peak sometime in the end of this month, especially for, say, in the New York area, based on what they say happened in other places like Europe. But now let's get back into the criminal charge that was dropped against former Governor Andrew Cuomo. So, Albany, New York, AP, the original criminal charge filed over the sexual harassment allegations that drove former New York Governor Andrew Cuomo from office was dismissed Friday at prosecutors' request. This guy, I just find it interesting how he's able to get prosecutors just coming out and saying, oh, no, we're dismissing the charges. I mean, he had that with the nursing home situation, and now he has that with the criminal charge. I mean, it's just amazing. You hardly ever see that with a prosecutor where they just so willing to drop charges or dismiss charges. So, as we get into it, So it says, right, at prosecutors' request, clearing what had been seen as the most serious legal threat to the Democrat. The move had been expected after Albany County prosecutors said they couldn't prove the case and intended to drop it. Cuomo, who denied the allegation that he groped an aide in the executive mansion in 2020, didn't speak during Friday's short hearing held with the judge sitting in an Albany courtroom and the lawyers and defendant appearing via video conference. Excuse me one moment. Me. Drinking some tea from my throat here. Wearing a black mask, Cuomo was visible for only a few seconds when his lawyer, Rita Glavin, swiveled her camera to show him in the room. As the governor has said, this simply did not happen, Glavin said in a video statement after the hearing. Today, reason and the rule of law prevailed, not politics, rhetoric, or mob mentality, she added. During the hearing, which lasted only a few minutes and would have been even shorter if not for audio glitches, Assistant District Attorney Jennifer McCanny told the judge prosecutors had reviewed the evidence and concluded, we cannot successfully secure conviction in this case. Judge Holly Trexler noted District Attorney's unfettered discretion to decide whether to prosecute a case. A court may not and should not interfere with discretion of a district attorney, she said. I don't know. I have to see where that is written. If the prosecutor is hiding exculpatory evidence or doing something illegal they shouldn't be doing, that would be violating the rights of either the plaintiff or the defendant. In a case, it is up to the judge. The judge is also obligated to uphold the rights of the defendant and the plaintiff in a case if that's what the prosecutor is doing. But these folks, they will come and say anything. They'll twist words around and say anything to make it make sense for whatever situation that they're trying to push through. Cuomo could still face lawsuits if his accusers choose to take him to court. Some, including Comiso, haven't indicated they plan to do so. Cuomo spokesperson Rich Azzopardi bristled Friday that the former governor will not pay one penny in attempts at civil extortion. So he's trying to frame the narrative already before they get to court when he says Cuomo spokesperson Rich Azzopardi, when he says the former governor will not pay one penny in attempts at civil extortion. That's him trying to frame the narrative and how they plan to approach and go into a civil suit if it goes there. They want to represent it as extortion. So they're trying to get ahead of it before it happens, or maybe they know it's on its way anyway. One moment. The local sheriff filed the misdemeanor complaint in October, 2 months after Cuomo resigned from office. Albany County District Attorney David Suarez said this week that although the aide was credible and some evidence supported her account, he believed he couldn't win a conviction. Wait a second. You're credible and evidence supports your account, but we can't get a conviction. He's saying a lot of contradictory things right there in just that statement, District Attorney David Soares. Sounds like he didn't want that smoke. The aide, Brittany Comiso, said Cuomo slid his hand up her blouse and grabbed her breast when they were alone in the office at the mansion. Her testimony was among the most damning in a report released in August by Democratic State Attorney General Letitia James that concluded Cuomo sexually harassed 11 women. He said he never touched anyone inappropriately. Cuomo resigned that month. He has called the report unfair. Soares has said he was caught by surprise when Sheriff Craig Apple a fellow Democrat, filed the forcible touching complaint without consulting the prosecutor's office. Soros called it potentially defective and moved to delay Cuomo's arraignment, originally set for November. In a letter to Trexler, pardon me one second, guys. Got a slight tickle in my throat here. Back to it. Soros called it potentially defective and moved to delay Cuomo's arraignment, originally set for November. In a letter to Trexler on Tuesday, Soros said, statutory elements of New York law make this case impossible to prove. He added that government inquiries into Cuomo's conduct had created technical and procedural hurdles regarding prosecutors' obligations to disclose evidence to the defense. Man, he's doing that. That dude is doing some splaining there. Glavin on Friday called the complaint a blatant political act, branded Apple a rogue sheriff, and assailed Comey so saying no jury would have found her credible. Apple has shrugged off previous attacks by Cuomo's representatives as unfounded. Some legal experts said Soros' decision illustrated the difficulties of prosecuting sex crime allegations, but others said he should have proceeded if he believed the accuser. Well, if that's what I'm saying. How you said? But Comiso didn't respond to a request for what, as they say, what happened to believe all women. Comiso didn't respond to a request for comment made through her lawyer Friday, but earlier this week she had blasted Soros for giving up on the case. My disappointing experience of re-victimization with the failure to prosecute a serial sexual abuser, no matter what degree the crime committed, yet again sadly highlights the reason victims are afraid to come forward, especially against people in power, Comiso said in a statement Tuesday to the Times Union of Albany. Now, sexual abuse, okay, you see, they're throwing all these different terms in. I mean, you say he groped you, so this is not, I guess, sexual abuse, sexual assault. I think this is forcibly touching would be the term. Unwanted touching. So, I don't know. All he said he did was he put his hand up your blouse and grope you. And although, be it, that's wrong and you shouldn't do it if that's not what you want. But these terms, they're very tricky. But that's for another time to speak on that. But I would think that it would be something like forcibly touching, unwanted touching. I don't know how they would maybe we'll look into that, but let's continue with the article. The Associated Press doesn't identify people who say they have been sexually assaulted unless they decide to tell their stories publicly, as Comiso has done in interviews. Soros, in a radio interview on Friday, noted that the Attorney General's inquiry didn't have the same legal requirements as a criminal case. As he said, prosecutors can't be swayed by public sentiment or passions. It's not for me to engage in any kind of debate with those who aren't equipped with as much information or the obligations that I have. Everyone is entitled to an opinion, but there's only one person with the burden of proof, and that's me, he told the WAMC Northeast Public Radio Network. Two prosecutors in New York City suburbs separately announced last month that Cuomo would not face charges for allegations involving other women as well, who said they have been subjected to unwanted kisses or touches. James, meanwhile, is still looking into whether Cuomo would properly use state workers and resources for his coronavirus pandemic memoir. He's also tussling with state ethics commissioners who want him to turn over $5 million in book proceeds. The U.S. Department of Justice in August opened a civil inquiry into sexual harassment. So DOJ had opened a civil inquiry into harassment allegations concerning Cuomo. The status of that investigation is unclear. So Cuomo has a lot of different legal hurdles and issues that he needs to, that he has to deal with. I'm going to look up here for you guys, see if we could see what exactly. So, New York penal law. Section 130 and we'll see if we can find here. So aggravated sexual abuse in the first degree is a Class B felony. A person is guilty of aggravated sexual abuse in the first degree when he or she inserts a foreign object inside the vagina, urethra, penis, rectum, or anus of another person, causing physical injury to such person. When the other person is incapable of consent by reason of being physically helpless, or when the other person is less than 11 years old. Okay, so let's go to, that's the top charge. Let's see if we can find, fourth degree, aggravated sexual abuse in the fourth degree, which is a Class E felony, which is the lowest felony. After that, it's misdemeanor, as in the hierarchy of offenses. A person is guilty of aggravated sexual abuse in the fourth degree when he or she, okay, is pretty much the same thing as it was in the first degree. Conduct performed for a valid does not. So there's a few little distinctions. So I'll read it out fully, but he or she inserts a foreign object in the vagina, urethra, penis, rectum, or anus of another person, and the other person is incapable of consent by reason of some factor other than being less than 17 years old. So this is mainly related to someone being less than 17 years old. He or she inserts a finger in the vagina, urethra, penis, rectum, or anus of another person, causing physical injury to such person, and such person is incapable of consent by reason of some factor other than being less than 17 years old. So it's other than, so maybe you're incapacitated, and so forth. So now this is New York Penal Code. So you can look this up. You can go to, what site is this? New York State Law Penal Code. They also, there was also California state law, penal code. So, as I said, I believe that these sexual offenses or charges of a groping, unwanted touching, unwanted groping, would be like misconduct. Because, as she said, by her own words, that he touched her without her permission, unwantedly, he groped her. All right. So anyway, look, we're going to go on a short ad break real quick. We thank you for sticking around and hanging on and listening to the program. And so we're going to go take this short break and then we're coming back with another story. So, that's the follow up on Andrew Cuomo. And we're going to come back with another story here on something that's very interesting that we want to share with you. So without further ado, here's the ad. All right. And you're now rocking and tuned in with the Block Report Podcast with me, your host, Tafari XL. And we're going to get into our next story. The next story we're going to get into is about 16 top colleges and Ivy League schools and universities. And why I found it interesting is because they're being sued for allegedly for blocking out students due to their financial status and based on if they had based on how their financials were instead of instead of looking to accept them or admit them through just their educational merit and applications, they were blocking them just based off of their financial status. And so we're going to be talking, we're going to go into that some. Oh, excuse me. It's a federal lawsuit. And and we're going to give the names as well of these schools that have been put in this lawsuit. So, 16 major U.S. universities and Ivy League schools have been accused of violating antitrust laws by collaborating to determine student financial aid awards, according to a lawsuit filed Sunday. The case in Illinois federal court is on behalf of five former students who allege that the universities practiced price fixing and unfairly limited aid by using a shared strategy to determine financial needs, the Wall Street Journal reported. The named schools are Yale University, Georgetown University, Northwestern University, Brown University, the California Institute of Technology, the University of Chicago, Columbia University, Cornell University, Dartmouth College, Duke University, Emory University, the Massachusetts Institute of Technology, the University of Notre Dame, the University of Pennsylvania, Rice University, and Vanderbilt University. Now, for someone, if you have been following me and listening to my programs and you've heard how I've addressed certain issues, you may or may not possibly get the feeling that, well, I bet he's not surprised by hearing these names. But these colleges, you know, I'm not surprised. These are well-heeled colleges, universities, you know. So I'm not totally surprised by any of this. Let's get into the rest of the article. Under Section 568 of the Federal Improving America Schools Act, universities can collaborate on financial aid strategies as long as they do not consider an applicant's financial need during admissions decisions, the Yale Daily News reported. Really? The Yale Daily News reported? The new lawsuit alleges that the schools in this group consider candidates' ability to pay in some cases and therefore violated those guidelines. Under a true need-blind admission system, all students would be admitted without regard to the financial circumstances of the student or student's family, the plaintiffs wrote in the complaint. Far from following this practice, at least nine defendants for many years have favored wealthy applicants in the admissions process. I don't know who's surprised by this, but someone has actually took it up and decided to lay the paperwork and pay for the lawsuit against these wealthy institutions. The lawsuit also alleges that some of the universities gave an admission advantage to children of wealthy donors. Of course they did. While others weighed students' finances to determine if they should be taken off a waiting list or admitted for specific school programs, according to the journal. While conspiring together on a method for awarding financial aid, which raises net tuition prices, defendants also considered the wealth of applicants and their families in making admissions decisions. Eric Rosen, a partner at Roche Friedman, one of the firms involved in the suit, told the journal. Up to 170,000 former undergraduate students who received partial financial aid because of university collusion in the past 18 years could join the case. That's what I was looking at. How many people were going to get ready who would be eligible to get on this lawsuit? And the more people that would get on this lawsuit, of course, is less money for the individuals to receive. The plaintiffs, but it could also highlight the issue and make the case more sensationalized and be in the news, which will then cause these institutions to want to close the case as soon as possible and settle and pay as soon as possible. They have the money. We know that. So, the lawsuit ultimately seeks damages for the plaintiffs and an end to the school's collaboration in making financial aid decisions. Representatives from Northwestern, Duke, Dartmouth, Notre Dame, the University of Chicago, and the University of Pennsylvania have so far declined to comment on the pending litigation. A university spokesperson for Yale told Newsweek that the school's financial policy is 100% compliant with all applicable laws, while a spokesperson for Caltech said they are currently viewing the lawsuit but have confidence in our financial aid practices. A representative for Brown University told Newsweek they have not yet been served the lawsuit and believe the complaint has no merit. Brown is prepared to mount a strong effort to make this clear. Brown is fully committed to making admissions decisions for U.S. undergraduate applicants independent of ability to pay tuition, and we meet the full demonstrated financial need of those students who matriculate. If we are served with the complaint, we will conduct a full review and respond as appropriate through the legal process, the spokesperson said. Similarly, a representative for Rice University said Tuesday that the lawsuit is without merit, stating that Rice University is proud of its financial aid practices and we are prepared to vigorously defend them in court. The remaining universities have not yet responded for requests or comment. One second, guys. So, a lot of the universities are saying that they're ready to lawyer up and defend their practices. The thing is this. How do they know? All right, the thing is this. Even if we were going to give these colleges the benefit of the doubt, if you talk to a spokesperson for a college or an entity like a business, do they know? Do they know what happens on the floor? Like, do they know what's going on directly in the financial aid office? And how many applications go through there? And this particular spokesperson is, see, because they were told to say that, but they don't know. But the thing is, they have to say what they're saying because they can't go ahead and admit any guilt. That would be the end of the game. So, they're going to say all of this that, oh yeah, we don't do that. Our practices are not like that. They don't know. That's why they're going to have the case. That's what the lawsuit is going to go ahead and figure out and work out. Get the documentation and figure out if the lawsuit has any merit based on the documentation and flesh that out in court. excuse me, guys. So, anyway, that's going to be about it for tonight, guys, as far as the Block Report podcast. Thank you for tuning in. We're going to keep an eye on that story there with the colleges. Also, we're going to be following up with a couple of other stories that we've came to you guys with. And we're going to do our part to report from the block, report on what's going on. I also want to go ahead and give my condolences. There was two horrible fires over the last week or so, one in Philadelphia and one in the Bronx. And in these fires, adults and children were killed. So, excuse me. So I want to give my condolences out to those families for what they went through. And in particular, the fire in Philadelphia, what's interesting, and now they're saying that the fire was the child, was the fault of a 5-year-old child, I believe, that ignited a Christmas tree with a lighter. So, So that is going to be pretty rough. You know, that young child is going to need some, is going to need some counseling and some therapy. And really, I don't believe the child should be put out there in the public too much, because that could be another trauma. Because that child is going to, could possibly have, you know, issues due to dealing with a guilt of the actions that it had as a child and growing up with that, that caused such a result. So, I just want to share my condolences and my concerns there. But anyway, so remember, we're getting up out of here right now. This was the Block Report Podcast with me, your host, Tafari XL.